Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the GLP third quarter FY 2014 earnings release conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 18th of February, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ms. Amrita Goel. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our third quarter 2014 earnings conference call. Today, we also had a significant announcement in China that we'll also discuss. Hopefully, you have received our presentation materials already. If not, you can access it on our webcast at ir.glpropinc.com. We have posted a revised earnings presentation that we're gonna follow today, and a news release out on the new strategic agreement in China announced this evening. This call is being webcast, so please join. With us on the line today are Mr. Jeff Schwartz, our co-founder of GLP and chairman of the executive committee, Mr. Ming Mei, our co-founder and CEO, and Ms. Heather Cia, our CFO of GLP. This evening, we'll be doing our quarterly earnings call slightly differently. Jeff and Ming will provide an overview of our earnings and discuss our new strategic agreement in China before we jump into the Q&A session. Jeff, Ming, and Heather are all available to take your questions. To allow as many people as possible to ask questions, we request each participant ask a maximum of two questions together, including follow-ups. Thank you. I will now hand the call over to Jeff.
Thank you, Amrita, and thanks all of you for joining the call. As most of you have likely seen, we have made an important announcement this evening that we believe will take our China business to the next level. Please turn with me to slide four. Today, we announced the signing of a landmark new strategic agreement, which we are very proud to be partnering with the leading Chinese domestic institutions who will provide additional capital for growth, but more importantly, new opportunities for strategic cooperation and relationships. Our growth is expected to increase substantially as the pace of our development accelerates, and we benefit from the numerous strategic opportunities now open to us through these partners. In terms of earnings for the third quarter ended 12/31/2013, China remains the key driver of this performance, with group earnings, or PATMI, growing by 56%. Demand for our facilities remains high, with strong leasing momentum across the business, particularly in China and Japan. China leasing was up more than 50% year-on-year in the third quarter, and we had, by a significant margin, our best quarter ever for leasing in Japan. Our growing fund management platform is generating more fees, with $15 million earned in the third quarter, more than doubling the total from a year earlier. Turning to slide five, please. This provides some details around the new landmark agreement we announced this evening, and again, we're available for questions, and obviously, we can't get all the color and the excitement we have for this transaction into the PowerPoint. A group of leading Chinese domestic institutions are investing up to $2.5 billion with GLP. The strategic partners include Bank of China Group Investment, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Bank of China, a large Chinese insurance company, and the Houpu Funds. Houpu is backed by China's largest SOEs and institutional investors. The fact that we have attracted a group of such partners of this caliber demonstrates the strength of the GLP brand and the strength of our team here in China. The transaction is split into two tranches. The first tranche of $1.6 billion comprises $1.46 billion of new shares in our China business and $163 million of GLP shares in the listed company. The second tranche comprises a further investment of up to $875 million in the China business. In total, the strategic partners, with participation by GLP employees and management, could invest up to a 34% stake if the second tranche is fully subscribed in our China business. Every GLP team member will benefit from participation in the share scheme, all of our China team, This builds a long-term retention structure to incentivize and align our team. This is a transformational agreement and positions GLP for more growth. The new partnerships provide GLP with additional capital, enabling GLP to further capitalize on the compelling long-term growth opportunities we see in China. But much more than just capital, which is not hard to access with our fund management platform and leading market position, our new partners bring opportunities, including new customer relationships, deepened customer relationships, and access to strategic land holdings. This transaction will strengthen our local presence and brand visibility, solidifying our role as the leading logistics solution provider in China. And our growth is expected to substantially increase again as we accelerate the pace of our new developments to meet the new opportunities this will present. Retaining and incentivizing our market-leading team in China is critical to achieving this growth. With this strategic transaction, which includes employee participation of the entire China team, Ming and I believe we will accomplish this. The majority of the proceeds will be used to strengthen and further develop our network in China, our key growth market, where ongoing urbanization and increasing domestic consumption continues to drive demand for logistics space. We estimate the market opportunity in China to be valued in excess of $2.5 trillion. And in November 2013, when we launched the $3 billion China Logistics Infrastructure Fund to develop, we launched it in November 2013 to develop modern logistics facilities in China. 86% of the capital of that $3 billion fund that we just announced in November has already been allocated. The agreement announced today will provide additional capital to further capitalize on the significant growth opportunities we see in China, which we'll see on the next slide. Turning to slide six, China, in my mind and Ning's mind, remains the best market globally for logistics. We estimate the market opportunity to be in excess of $2.5 trillion. That's just with China getting to one-third the amount of distribution space per capita that the U.S., the U.K., or Japan has. And they're all basically the same, approximately the same, on a per capita basis. But China just getting to one-third that amount is a $2.5 trillion opportunity. The demand of China's continuing urbanization and rising domestic consumption is far outstripping supply of logistics infrastructure in the country. Today, the country has one-twelfth the amount of warehouse stock or distribution space per capita of the U.S., again, U.K., or Japan, and only 20% of that is what you'd call modern or well-located. The rest is functionally obsolete and will be replaced. There's huge potential to improve the efficiency of the logistics industry in China. Today, logistics expenditures make up 18% of China's GDP, twice as high as the U.S., and almost twice as high as Europe. As consumption grows, so does the requirement for modern logistics facilities. Over the next 15 years, during which China is expected to surpass the U.S. as the largest economy in the world, we anticipate that logistics space will reach at least a third, if not more, on a per capita basis. And again, even that low number, at today's costs, with no cost inflation, no construction cost increases, no land cost increases, and no development margin, would be a $2.5 trillion opportunity. So factor all those in, it's $5 trillion by the time you're done. The strategic partnership takes GLP to the next level as we seek to strengthen our local presence, continue to build our land bank, and enhance our role as the top logistics infrastructure provider in the country. We will strengthen our relationships with leading China domiciled companies. China companies already make up more than 50% of our customer base, up from 0 10 years ago, and fully 65 to 70% of our new leases signed over the last 12 months have been with China domiciled companies. With our strong market presence and extensive network, we are well positioned to meet the growing logistics needs of state-owned enterprises such as COFCO and China Railway Group. We are confident that this transaction will create long-term value for our shareholders. Turn to slide seven. outlining the key financial highlights for the third quarter and first 9 months of fiscal year 2014. Third quarter group revenue was U.S. $171 million. This was 2% lower than the same period last year, mainly due to the contribution of Japan properties to our J-REIT and foreign exchange movements. Adjusted for these items, revenue would have increased 29% in the third quarter and 20% on a year-to-date basis. Third quarter group EBIT was up 6%, with earnings up 56%, driven by revaluation gains from development completions and rent growth in China. Adjusting for the contributions of properties to our J-REIT and foreign exchange movements, EBIT and earnings were up 26% and 42%, respectively. Year-to-date, pro forma EBIT and earnings were up 38% and 51%. Turn to slide 8. We highlight the key operational themes and achievements for the third quarter. We have a strong market-leading portfolio with high stabilized lease ratios, reflecting the healthy demand in all of our markets. Our development platform continues to deliver sustainable growth. Value creation in our development portfolio was around $150 million U.S. year-to-date, and our development pipeline stands at 9.7 million square meters, worth 2.8 billion U.S. dollars, and up more than 20% on a year-to-year basis. This is expected to generate significant value in the near and medium term. Our financial position remains robust and provides a solid foundation as we continue to grow. We have low leverage, a strong cash position, and a healthy debt maturity profile. Now I'd like to turn it over to my partner, Ming, who will talk you through the operational progress we've been making over the last 9 months and the compelling long-term growth opportunities we see in all our markets, and importantly, how important the strategic transaction is that we just announced in China.
Thank you, Jeff, and good evening, everyone. On slide 10, if you can see that we continue to see high level of demand for our facilities in China. Both new and expansion lease renewal leases were strong over the quarter. We registered 485,000 square meters of new and expansion leases in the third quarter. That's up 50% year on year. And this strong momentum have continued since the quarter end. The rent on renewal leases were up 9.5%. This is on top of the annual 4-5% we put in the annual escalation in the leases. And this illustrates the embedded rental growth in our portfolio as well. Domestic consumption, which constitutes 80% of our China portfolio, remains a key driver of this demand, as demonstrated by the significant portion of recent leases that we have signed with 3PLs that provide and providers and the e-commerce companies. 3PL make up still 60% of our new and expansion leases in the third quarter, which major agreements signed with Debang, Geodes, and Sankyu from Japan. E-commerce represent approximately about a third of the third quarter lease, with agreements signed with Suning, Kafko, which is China Own Foods, Womake.com, and LightInTheBox.com. E-commerce now represent 22% of total lease in China, compared to just 4% in financial year 2010. Again, this 22% is just the companies that we track as e-commerce. This does not take into consideration of logistic companies that cater to e-commerce companies. So if you include that portion, the percentage of e-commerce will be even higher. We see this as a fundamental long-term trend. Over the last 12 months, existing customers made up two-thirds of the new and expansion leases, which demonstrate increasing stickiness. The Bang, for example, have grown their leases area with us by almost 10 times over the last 3 years. These relationships are very important to us, and we're looking for some, you know, exciting ways to bring more value to our customers' operation. We have a strong development pipeline, currently at about 8.3 million square meters. Year-to-date, we have acquired more than 2.3 million square meter land for future development to meet the customer demand, and with 1 million square meter acquired in the third quarter alone. And all these land were converted from our existing land reserve list. Furthermore, our land reserve stand at about 12.4 million square meters. That's up another 25% year on year, even after converting a significant amount of land reserve into our land bank. Our partnership platform we have set up have increasing importance to our operation. make up a quarter of all land purchased over the last year alone. An example is Transfar. We were able to convert new sites in Qingdao with several additional projects and pipeline through this platform. We believe that land will be increasingly hard to acquire, and it will be even more of a barrier to entry for newcomers. And we believe that not only is it going to be harder to acquire land, but also land price will continue to increase. We believe that this will be in the benefit for an entrenched player like GLP. I want to talk a little bit about this partnership that Jeff mentioned earlier. It's not just the capital they bring, but also the relationship they can bring that can help us access to strategic land holdings. A lot of the state-owned companies in China currently have a lot of state-owned land that is not in the best use, and we are looking forward to with the support and the facilitation of the consortium to open doors to start working with them. We have already started working with them over the last 6 months as we were negotiating with the consortium. They have helped us access to some state-owned companies such as China Rail, which we already are under cooperation with them for a couple sites in Beijing as well as Guangzhou on the existing legacy rail stations. On top of that, we are working with China Postal. We have concluded a lease with them as well as working on a land site in Zhengzhou, Henan, with China Postal Group. And we also, with the help of the consortium, we'll expand our relationship with Kafco to roll out a national cold chain facility for them throughout China. So again, besides the as Jeff mentioned, alignment of interest for the management team as well as to provide additional capital for the next 2 years of growth, this also enhances our land position as well as customer relationships. Our development momentum continued to be into the third quarter. We have started 1.7 million square meter year to date, and we are still fully committed to the full year target. We also continue to complete new developments with a 38% increase year on year for the first 9 months of the financial year. And we have completion of approximately about 800,000 planned for the rest of the quarter, which will put us at the 2 million square meter we commit for the year, which at this point we still are very committed for the whole year target. If you move to the next slide, slide 11, if we give a quick snapshot of our China portfolio, rent continued to grow, underpinned by strong demand and limited supply of modern facilities. Average rent was increased by 5.8% on the same store basis, and the same store net operating income was up 8.2%. Growth in development led to a 28% year-on-year increase in NAV to $5.4 billion. The stabilized lease ratio in China is 89%, remaining broadly stable. As we add more new facility to it, we expect this to increase to the 90-91% in the next couple of months. Our domestic consumption-focused portfolio is 94% lease up. Now we turn to Japan on slide 12. We have been making great progress. New and expansion lease grew by 140% year-on-year in the third quarter, around 200,000 square meters. That is a record quarter for us. We see domestic consumption continue to pick up in momentum. We recently signed 9 new leases, total more than 180,000 square meters, in multiple locations across Japan, all which are signed by 3PL providers or wholesale distributors catered to domestic consumption. The e-commerce industry in Japan continued to grow, with sales expected more than double over the next 5 years. This will continue to drive demand from third-party logistics providers as businesses meet the challenge of optimizing efficiency, even as they are expanding their distribution networks. Looking forward, we have a strong pipeline of lease demand and a real acceleration in our development activities. We have already exceeded our financial year development target in Japan with more than 450,000 square meter announced thus far. These include 3 new facilities in Greater Tokyo area and 1 new facility in Greater Osaka area, with a total development cost of 70 billion Japanese yen. Our new development are leasing very well. For example, GLP Asuki were completed back in December, and the building is now 90% leased. So it is well ahead of our underwriting schedule. On slide 13, give a picture of our Japan portfolio, including the asset we manage under GLP J-REIT. 84% of our properties are in the prime market of Greater Tokyo and Osaka. and both of which are seeing strong economic growth. The lease ratio remained high at 99%. Rent increased slightly in the third quarter, with tenant retention rate and weighted average lease expiration both remain very healthy. On slide 14, on Brazil operation, you have a read about the slowing economy in Brazil, but we remain very excited about the opportunity we have there. As with China and Japan, domestic consumption continues to be strong, but the supply of modern logistics facilities remain limited. We have eased our start in tandem with the economy, but we have completed as well leasing very well. We have recently leased 114,000 square meter to Arturo, Brazil's largest fashion apparel group at GLP Guarulhos. We completed 37,000 square meters at GLP Guarulhos at the third quarter, and all completed space there is now 100% leased. Guarulhos will be comprised more than 420,000 square meters of floor area when it's completed in 2017, making that Brazil's largest and best master plan logistic park. We expect to start 150,000 to 200,000 square meter of new development in the financial year 2014. That's lower than 300,000 square meter we guided last year. Part of the reason is that we have given our new tenant a right to first release a significant building at the Guarulhos project. Therefore, we have to push the construction back until next year. If you turn to slide 15, occupancy remained very high at 95%. We have a long weighted average lease expiration period, just under 8 years, and our development pipeline remains healthy at 800,000 square meters. On slide 16, it illustrates the growth in the fund management platform. Today, assets under management stands about slightly under $11 billion. That's up from $8.4 billion this time last year. This comprises $6.2 billion invested capital and $4.7 billion of committed capital. Fund management revenue in the third quarter were $15 million, more than double a year earlier. These comprised of asset and property management fee of $10 million and development and acquisition fee of $5 million. We expect management fee to continue to grow as the committed capital is invested and further build a fund management platform. And with that, I hand it back to Ambika.
Thank you. Financial highlights are available in the appendix of our presentation. We'd now like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Please keep your questions to 2 at one time, including follow-up, so we may allow everyone to have ample time for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Michael Lim of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Ming. Can you hear me?
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. I'm trying to get a sense of the pricing that you're selling the China assets to the HoldCo for. It seems like it's only at one-time book value. Can you help us understand why you're not able to extract a premium on that value?
Well, first of all, the consortium, they bring in not just capital, they bring in additional resources to help us grow. They believe that they can bring actually more value. They actually demand a discount to...
They thought they should get a discount because they bring so much value to the table.
Yeah, so they think that the latest appraised value already reflect the asset value, and they can bring the growth of the platform to a next level. So they think that they should be getting a discount. So we actually argue that it should be a premium because the platform. So we agreed to about 1% premium to the latest appraised value by Jones Lang LaSalle. And now the transactions are concluded. The reason we did it is because we do believe that, and they have demonstrated that they will help us grow this business faster with their help. So we're expecting capital deployment will increase from our from where we were projecting and what we were forecasting. We expect to grow even further from that.
Thanks. And it's interesting you mentioned growth, because if we look at the China Logistic Fund, you mentioned that 80%+ is already deployed or at least identified. So can I get a sense of, you know, how this new partnership is going to change your development targets over the coming years. With the logistics fund, you were growing 20-25%. So does this really multiply the figures substantially?
I can just give you some reference. This financial year, we expect to put out about $1.2 billion of capital in China. With the new consortium and we expect to invest about $1.7 billion next financial year. So that is a 40% plus increase.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Sean Garner of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ming, hi Jeff. Just following up on that question, I think in the past with your 20-25% growth rate in starts, you probably would have had sort of 7 million or so square meters of starts in 5 years' time. Just thinking longer term like that, can you help us understand what sort of starts number you would like to aim towards, given the opportunity that you see in the market on a five-year view or something?
Well, Sean, I think I'll start and let Ming, you know, add significant color to this. But, you know, when we went public, which is coming up on 4 years ago, we said for the next 4 to 5 years we could see growing 20-25% a year. Obviously, at some point, the law of big numbers catches up with you. And, you know, if you grow 25% a year for 20 years, you've paved all of China, which is not likely to happen. But it will be, you know, we want to make sure that we're the market leader by a wide margin. We think this will substantially grow and that we'll grow 20 to 30% faster than we would have otherwise. Ming, you want to add to that?
Yeah, like as I mentioned, in a dollar sense, we expect to go from 1.2 billion this year to 1.7 billion next year. So from a square meter standpoint, I think it will correlate in those numbers. I think in our business, you know, there are three main elements to it. You know, four elements. You know, you need a good team, you need land, you need customers, and you need capital. And I think with this transaction, it provides an incentive to align the team to make sure that next 6-7 years this team is motivated and locked up. Because when we took the company public 3.5 years ago, we took out $100 million and gave it to the team, and all those will be vested in this year. It will be fully vested. So this new initiative will help provide the next 6-7 years of alignment. So from a team standpoint, we feel very good because not only for the existing team members, but also we reserve a big portion for recruiting new members to the team. So we wanted to make sure that we motivate the existing team, keep them, retain them, but also attract new talent into the team. The second thing is, land. You know, without any help, we were doing fine, but we with this extra help, we expect to access some of the larger land holdings and partnerships that we didn't have access to before. And then with customers, we expect to roll out, and you will hear more about shortly about some of the exciting things we're working on the national level with some of these big state-owned companies. And then the third thing is capital. It does provide the capital for the next 2 years. We deploy capital faster than most people expected. As Jeff mentioned, the $3 billion logistic fund we raised just in November has already been 86% allocated, and we expect that fully deployed by next year. And the $2.5 billion capital we raised this time, we expect to deploy in the next 2 years. So again, I think this transaction addressed all four of those elements.
Great. Thanks for that. Can I just have a second question, slightly more near-dated, on leasing? You got 800,000 square meters completing this quarter. Any indications of how strong leasing has been so far through the middle of February, whether you think you can do that?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we're able to maintain. You know, with the rapid development, I think a healthy occupancy rate would be anywhere in the 89 to 92% range. Because typically, customer when they need it yesterday. So we have a pretty good we kind of have visibility with our customers because 60-70% of the leases are with existing customers. But we also get 30% of leases from new customers as well. So I think we always want to make sure that we're not behind on the curve. But based on everything we've seen so far, we are still confident and that we have no reason to adjust our start and completion. The demand continues to be very strong. One of the differences that we see in the market is that the same customers, when they leased from us 4 or 5 years ago, they were leasing per lease, there were like 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. I mean, I'm sorry, 4,000 or 5,000 square meters. Now the transactions are 20,000, 30,000. So it's the same customer, same lease, the space required per transaction has increased 4 or 5 fold. So in the future, we expect that to continue. If you look at the more mature markets like in the U.S., it's very common to see per customer, per requirement in the 50,000 to 100,000 square meter range. So we expect as a part of the consumption urbanizing drive and more consolidation of retail, we expect the per transaction and per requirement will be bigger and bigger. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, only 16% of the retail in China are organized retail, chain retails. We expect that to increase to 60 to 70%. So even if the consumption doesn't change, as that consolidates, the requirement will change dramatically as the pattern of the business changes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Derek Lowe of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a question on the China valuation. You were saying that you sold the assets at 1% premium to the appraised value for the to the strategic partner. If I just look at slide 11, there's a 6.5% increase in total valuation of your completed assets. I think some of it is due to completing of part of the port. 1,000 square meters. Maybe if you can just give us a bit more color on the valuation in terms of how much was driven by rent growth, how much was driven by cap rate change, and how much by new properties being added.
Okay. As we communicated before, every quarter we engage actually third-party valuer to perform valuation on our properties. When we mentioned the valuation is really based off December end third part of valuation. So that's the base for the NAV. In terms of the specific number and increase, most of the valuation increase are actually driven by our development and completion, and most come from China, obviously. And a small percentage actually come from Japan. Both Japan actually are in the joint the JCEs, joint control entities. So China really driving most of the development profit. China engaging a lot of the development activities. We communicate throughout the last couple of years.
I mean, I think the quick and dirty way to look at it is that we have about $3.6 billion, give it take a little bit of completed stabilized portfolios, and every year they increase rent by call it 6%. So if the cap rate didn't change, the value increased by 6% on that $3.6 billion. And then the development, if we're investing $1.2 billion in development, you take a 25% margin, you should add 25% of $1.2 billion. If next year we invest $1.7 billion, they want margin 25%, you get that. So that's the quick and dirty way to quantify that.
Just to be clear, valuation.
Sorry, we couldn't hear that.
You're breaking up.
On slide 11, basically, I was just asking about China. Just to be clear, the valuation uplift was driven by completions, number one, and second is there was no change in cap rates. It was driven by rent growth. That's the short answer to it.
There were some slight cap rate compression in some of the first tier cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much was it?
Actually very small basis point.
It's like 0.15, I think. 0.15%.
15
basis points.
15 basis points.
It's very,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. First
it's
year
very
cities.
Small.
Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou.
Just for the first tier cities.
Okay.
And this is based on the JL's latest
numbers. Okay. So, and then just turning to slide 24, just a question on Japan. If I just look at slide 24, if we exclude the impact of JRE, the EBIT still fell by like 12% on the local currency. Maybe if you can just explain why is this so?
Actually, if you take out, if you read the footnote, this is on the third quarter. The adjustment actually happened in last year, the same quarter. So if you take it out, and you take, it's really resulting in a decrease of about 3%. It's not as significant as you mentioned.
Yeah, but so
you can see the detailed explanation in the footnote.
Yeah, minus 3%, right? So even having a minus 3% is counterintuitive because your revenue went up by 4%, right? So the margins actually went down in Japan.
I wouldn't call margin. Some of them could be just timing and then on the... Some of it could be just, you know, timing. And then, obviously, in Japan, we continue to invest, growing our platform as well. So if you talk about difference between revenue and the EBIT, obviously, you know, when you're investing people in the platform, you do get a little bit of G&A increase, for example. That will going to impact your profit level at EBIT, but not necessarily revenue.
Okay, so the impact could be from G&A. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Michael Lim of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jeff. It's me again. Can I just ask how you arrived at the 33% sale for the whole co? Does that correspond to, say, like funding for the next 5 years or funding for the next 3 years?
I think just to give you the way we look at it, we want to position GLP in China as a local company in the eyes of regulators as well as in the eyes of Chinese people as well as in the eyes of Chinese companies and state-owned companies. So we want to make sure that it's a significant amount. And if you look at a look-through basis, the consortium will become the largest investor in China. Replacing GIC because GIC is 37% in the company, multiplied by what GLP owns in China will be in the 20s. So this will make the consortium the largest single investor in China, and this is something that we intend to leverage and maximize that coverage in China. So in the we are the largest, and we expect. The next phase of growth will take us to the next level, that our leading position will become even more dominant. So again, we are positioned to be a dominant player in this market and the local economy. So we want to be perceived and see and view by the government, the regulators, the customers, the employees as a local company.
We want to sell enough to be significant and make them major shareholders and become part of the fabric of China's economy and China's business community, but at the same time retain the majority of the growth and opportunity for the GLP shareholders.
Thanks. And does this, should I think of this list co as like a prelude to a future China listing?
As we've said in the past, we will always explore the best opportunities to create the greatest shareholder value. And if the greatest shareholder value, whether it be 3 years or 4 years down the road, comes from a separate listing and creates more value for the GLP shareholders, that's something that both Ming and I would be very interested in exploring.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Arnold van Rijn of Robeco. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your presentation. That looks very exciting. I was just wondering about the details of that deal. You talk about a first and a second tranche. What's the timing of that, and what is the $163 million in GLP stake going to be sold at, and or is that new shares or old shares?
We're going to issue the $163 million in new shares, and it's a 3% discount to the 30 trillion days. So basically, it's about priced at about 2.75. Okay. So it's a 3% discount to the previous 30-day trading.
At the close of business yesterday.
Yeah.
Or close of market yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Well, you talked about two tranches. What's the timing of tranche one?
Yeah, the timing. We expect because this requires insurance regulators accepting the application, so we should expect that to close within the next few months. And then once we close the first tranche, the second tranche we should expect to close within the 12 months from now. And also part of the reason is because if we receive too much cash all at once, it becomes diluted. So we kind of time it as well.
And yep. The second tranche is at the then appraised value. So any rental growth, any appreciation, any compression
yep.
will inure to the benefit of the existing shareholders.
Okay, so the 875 is just what it would be priced at today. It could well be 900 or 950.
They get less shares.
They get less percentage.
Yeah.
That's why we say up to the percentage, because if the price stayed constant, that's the percentage. But assuming the price goes up, the percentage will go down.
I just want to clarify that this initiative had been discussed at the board level ever since we took GLP public 3.5 years ago. This is a strategic initiative that that the company and the board have been after for a long time, and over a year and a half, we've been identifying who is the strategic partners we want to have to be in this partnership. And then over the last 9 months, we actually have been working with them on the actual business side by side on getting land access and also doing customer relationship and leasing to demonstrate their capabilities. So that's why we have confidence that they bring to the table more value than just the capital and the relationship, but also that they prove that they can take this platform, help us take this platform to the next level.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced.
Okay.
Right, if there are no further questions, we'll hand the call back to Mr. Jeffrey.
Okay. Well, we'd like to thank everyone for dialing in. To summarize, the strategic agreement we have signed in China builds upon our market-leading position and provides us with, most importantly, the strategic opportunities and relationships to build a sustainable, long-term business in a leadership position in the largest logistics market in the world long term. We are confident that our China business growth will accelerate with the support of our new strategic partners. And opportunities remain compelling in all of our markets, driven by domestic consumption, shortage of modern space, the growth of e-commerce. We feel very good about the markets we're in today. And we expect to ramp up our expansion plans to meet growing demand for modern logistics facilities across the markets we're in, which we consider to be only the world's best logistics markets. With that, we thank you and appreciate your time this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.